It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Previously on Reunion, Shark Attacks in Paradise.
I show him the picture of Sarah, cut in two. Oh, cut in two.
As soon as the accident happened, I was informed straight away and I went to the beach straight away. When I arrived, the police brought the bag past us. It was just a big plastic bag in which there was the body of Sarah. So I see this image. I see the police carrying the bag, carrying a dead body. It has a shape. Normally it does. For us, it just didn't look like a dead body. I have this image in my head of this bag being carried that didn't look like a dead body.
So, what does it actually feel like to be prey? What does the antelope feel, right? Like, perfectly alive still, but with its neck already in a cheetah's teeth. I mean, isn't that the root of our whole shark attack fascination, that question? And I mean, sure, that experience of being prey, at least prey to non-human predators, is vanishingly rare these days for pretty much all human beings. But the opposite has been true for the overwhelming majority of all animals that have ever lived on this earth. And that is a giant number, by the way. It's something like 10 to the 30th. But the opposite has even been true for the overwhelming majority of human beings through most of the history of our species, which goes back about 300,000 years. I guess what I'm trying to say is that animals get eaten by other animals on this earth, and we are animals with a deep and ancient collective memory of getting eaten. In fact, I think it's almost fair to say that there is something deeply normal about that experience, at least in sort of cosmic, you know, world historical terms. And it's probably also fair to say that by late 2013 on Reunion Island, contemplation of that deeply normal experience of being prey in the mouth of a predator had to have been pretty common among people like, well, let's say Tungi Gikel, a young man who loved to swim. I'm Dan Duane, and this is Reunion, Shark Attacks in Paradise, Episode 10, Prey. One more thought before we hear from Tungi. This whole story about Reunion Island, it has an awful lot of trauma and loss at its heart. So just to tell it, I've asked a lot of people to relive the most painful experiences of their lives for me. And not everyone's been up to it. I can think of three people, like, just offhand who said, no, just point blank, nope, no thanks, I'm good. Because of course, right? And it was also pretty common for people to ask me during interviews what I was up to and why. And I completely understood.
Well, first thing in my mind was, do they want to use my story to make money, like just making emotional stuff, stories to sell? I was a bit concerned about it.
Look, that there's no escaping the validity of that concern of yours. I mean, look, I'm a professional writer. I write books. I write a lot about surfing. I've written books about water and a lot of articles about water and other subjects. But it is what I do for a living, you know. Everybody here in this production team, you know, we love this work that we do, and we try to do it with integrity and. But, you know, that's a valid question, and I hope you'll keep raising that question with me. okay? So don't feel like you have to let that question go.
I don't want to.
Okay, and let's keep that in the air between us.
Sure.
Tanguy is a slender and thoughtful guy, by the way, of mixed French and Moroccan Berber descent. He grew up in a modest little town south of Saint-Luc called Etang Salé, or Salt Pond. Etang Salé isn't really a tourist destination. It's more just a place people live. And Tanguy loved the water there growing up. He loved swimming and body surfing. You know, that's where you don't use any kind of board. You just swim to catch waves and ride them with your body kind of outstretched. And Tanguy was also abroad for the first couple years of the shark crisis. He was off in Belgium studying. But he came back in late 2013 after the prefecture, the French national government, on Reunion, formally outlawed surfing and swimming on the entire coast of Reunion Island. But with that one little wrinkle, individual town mayors were given discretion to re-legalize surfing and swimming in designated areas under their jurisdiction. This turns out to be sort of politically interesting for reasons we'll get to in the next episode. But for now, suffice to say that most mayors wanted no part of declaring any stretch of coast safe, because then if somebody gets chomped, it's on the mayor. But town bureaucrats in Etang Salé, where Tanguy lived, were a little more iconoclastic and basically said, screw it, nobody's ever gotten hurt on our beach. People have been swimming here forever. We'll just put out a lifeguard and let people keep swimming. So on October 26th, 2013, when Tanguy was 24 years old, he went body surfing with some friends, like he'd done countless times before throughout his life at that very spot. It was a beautiful sunny day, just after noon.
I was not really motivated to go there. Like, my friend really told me, come, the waves are good, let's go there. And I was, long time since I've been in the sea. So I was just coming back from Belgium at that time, like 1 week before I came back to Reunion. So I didn't really took time to retrouver mes sensations et mes habitudes.
To get used to being in the water again, so I wasn't completely comfortable straight away. But I went into the water, I followed him, but I still had this apprehension. And this meant that I was actually trying to avoid the waves and go further out beyond the break.
Tanguy speaks good English, but I had our British interpreter along because Tanguy felt as if he would speak sort of more comfortably if he could go back and forth between languages. There were 15 of you in the water that day.
And like 50 people on the beach also around.
Wow. I asked Tanguy about the conditions that day.
It was not a pure shiny day, but it was mostly shiny with some few clouds. The water was clean. The last rain was like 3 days before, so the condition was quite okay. And the waves were big, like 1 meter and a half. And more. Donc les conditions étaient plutôt bonnes.
So the conditions were good, but my own conditions were not so good. And that's an important factor, I think, that I wasn't feeling particularly good myself.
And tell me why is that an important factor? How did that affect you?
It was impactful because I wasn't able to stay in the waves, so I was too far, just going myself further in the ocean. I felt like I was too far away from the other swimmers. So since I was out of the group, I felt like it was a bad move to get out of the group. I felt like an easy prey, and it was really important to get near the others to be protected by the group, in fact.
Yeah. Sort of hanging out on the outside to avoid the bigger
waiting
waves.
Waiting the big waves to pass and go back after that. That was the plan.
Okay. Were you wearing flippers? Fins?
Nope.
Swim fins? No fins.
I had nothing at that time. That was part of the problem.
Right. It's hard to catch and body surf a good size wave without swim fins when you can't push off the bottom when you're in deep water offshore. Yeah. Tanguy was doing the interview from an outdoor porch, by the way, which was pretty common on reunion. So if you hear dogs in the background, you know, that's why. At this point in our conversation, I just was curious what the view looked like to him from the water, you know, so like when he's out in the water, floating around, swimming, and he looks back at the shore.
Well, you have like a big bay all over on your left, on your right, sandy beach. The sand is black and a bit of olivine.
But what is very pretty in Réunion is that we can see the island, the mountains, looming up in the background, covered in vegetation. So there's this huge mountain in front of us beyond this line of forest.
Okay, so then tell me about the instant of the attack, you know? Did you sense something? Did you see something? Did you feel something?
Did
you?
Sure, I did.
So at the point, just before the attack, I had been moved. I was away from the rest of the group. My friend Alexandre wasn't too far, maybe 1 or 2 meters behind me. I was looking out towards the sea, towards the horizon, and I saw from the right in my blind spot, I saw a wave moving towards me, and I could see it was perpendicular. And I could see straight away that it was a shark.
Et je l'ai vu venir, il était peut-être à 20 mètres de moi.
It was 20 meters away when I first spotted it.
Et donc il m'a chargé depuis la surface.
And it hit me from the surface.
Did I hear you correctly that you say you saw this shark 20 meters away?
Sure. It was a bull shark, so it was going fast, straight to me.
Mm. Wow.
Donc j'ai eu une bonne seconde et demie.
And I had a second and a half to try and react, and I shouted, "There's a shark!" for all the others. And that's when I started swimming away, looking behind me, over my shoulder, and 2 seconds later he was on me. And he grabbed my leg, and I shouted to Alexandre, "He's got me. He's got me by the leg."
Donc j'ai pu communiquer avec les autres.
I was able to communicate this to the others, and all the others went straight out. They hadn't understood that I'd been attacked. They just thought that they had to all get out as quickly as possible. So the shark grabbed me.
And had everybody else gotten out of the water? Was it your friend the only one who stayed?
He was the only one who understood that I was attacked because he was near me. The others were like 10 or 15 meters far back, so they didn't saw me getting attacked. Since it's underwater, you don't see much. And they just get back to the shore and did not understood what happened. Et moi, pendant ce temps-là, je me suis défendu.
And I was trying to fight back.
And how did you fight back? In what way?
I was trying to punch him on the nose, trying to open its mouth. And as I tried to open its mouth with all my strength and all the energy, I lost these tips of my two fingers that you can see here. I could see that that was not having any effect at all. And as I realized I couldn't get away from his grip, the shark, together, we realized that I couldn't get away. And at that point, the shark shook me around like a rag doll, and my leg came off instantly. It was lasted a fraction of a second, and the leg was broken.
Parce que j'ai aussi l'impression, le sentiment d'avoir.
I had the impression that I'd kind of given up, and I, as if to say, "You've won. I'm not going to fight against this. Go for it." So he took my leg.
You said you grabbed the mouth. Were you also trying to strike the shark? Or
yes, I did. I did try to smash in his nose, but since I was underwater like this, with the shark on me, with no way to have some recoil, I couldn't do much. So the first idea was to open the mouth and get my leg off. That's the first thing I did, and so it didn't work. Well, after that, I knew it wasn't possible.
When did you feel the emotion of fear when you saw the shark coming toward you?
No.
Initially?
No. It was only the urge to act, to say, to yell to others, to move, to start doing something to avoid it. But no fear at all. No time for fear, in fact. It wasn't useful at that time. It was already too late.
Yeah.
At least for my part, it was obvious that I couldn't fight back, and then I had to submit to his strength. So I did.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
And the shock, like understanding it, I don't know. But at that precise moment, he stopped checking me and breaking my leg.
I'm really struck by the word break. I have not heard people use that word in these things before. And it must be that that's very much what it felt like, was the breaking of the bone or something. Is that right?
Exactly. It was comme quand on craque une brindille.
It's when you snap a piece of wood. My leg was just like a matchstick. It was nothing for him. It just snapped in two, just like that, without any resistance, it seemed.
I felt like it was really intelligent connection between us. Something like electricity going through us. Our brains communicate some way. And I felt like I was trying to fight back. I couldn't. He understood that I couldn't. So he get out of his guard and start to break my leg to take what he came for. So there was really a feeling between the two of us trying to understand what is possible, what is dangerous.
They are very powerful animals, aren't they? That's amazing.
2 tons of pressure from every centimeter of jaws.
I mean, there's some way in which that moment of submission, it led to this horrible injury, but it also led to your being freed. It led to the end of the experience in a way, right?
Exactly. It wasn't like I submit to death. That was not at all that feeling. It was more like, okay, I cannot do more about it. Do what you want, but it was also understandable for me that it wasn't here for my life, even if I feared, like the way he left me, going straight down to the bottom of the sea, was kind of, he took what he wanted and get out of the situation. Because also my friend was near me and watching, and at the first second when the shark stopped and left me, he came back to me to swim. Il est revenu vers moi.
He came back to me. So I think also the shark might have noticed that there was other people around.
Tell me about the moment when you were aware that the shark was diving. Did you see it dive? Did you feel it dive? Both?
Oh, I saw it going straight down. And also I felt like the instant my leg broke, it was really clear. Since I was like shaking, you know, like this in the water, after he took my leg, after it broke, I stopped moving and I was suddenly like in calm again, seeing him go down, and also feeling everything with really great accuracy at that moment. Everything was precise, sound, colors.
When you sort of go to the memory of that moment of great accuracy, you know, sensory accuracy, you know, what are the sounds and the colors? What is so crisp? Is, you know, what color is...
The shark skin was really incredible in colors, like electrical blue, with many reflect on it. Mm. One time when I came fishing with a friend of there, so we came to the sea fishing and we found a big, big fish like an espadon de cent...
It was a swordfish. Oh no, it was a marlin, over 200 kilos. And we pulled it onto the boat. And I said to myself, look at this beautiful animal. This is more beautiful than me, stronger than me. And it's terrible that I am its predator. Because it's beautiful, this animal. It's royal, it's magnificent. And I'm not up to its level in any form.
So,
I mean,
yeah.
No, please.
I understand it like every people who experienced hunting might have saw this kind of feeling in his life. Like it's intense. So you have death and blood, but it's also a part of living. So it's really amazing. Also, in the same time.
There's something fascinating that the human mind does in those in a moment of intense clarity. It's so peculiar that our minds would see beauty in that instant. It's interesting to me that you'd been a fisherman and caught a marlin, huh?
I'm not a fisherman at all.
Okay.
I participate to fishing this big fish, I puke three times. And one time when I was like, this animal is so mighty, I shouldn't kill him. And I was so sad about it that I puked from it. I was really, really feeling bad from it. So I'm not really a fisherman at all. I love fish and I let them in the ocean.
Yeah.
For the sound, it was just a wave, so... And my friend yelling at me from the back.
What were they yelling?
I can't say.
Don't know. Yeah, just the sounds of voices.
And as I said, the water was clear, so I could see until the bottom, until the sand. And I saw the blood covering the water all around. And I even remember my short falling off me and going down to the sea. So everything was intense, but it was quite clear.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. Must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Were you aware in seeing that much blood? Did that produce a fear in you? Boy, that's a lot of blood.
I think that was the mostly feared moment in all the attacks. When I saw the blood, like, it was, I have to go fast to the beach. Really, I didn't say anything. I didn't saw with, j'ai pas pensé avec des paroles.
I didn't think with any words. I understood straight away that I had to move fast, that this was the greatest danger. And that really woke me up and shook me up to move fast.
So, yeah, it was back to reality, to waves, to current.
What do you remember of beginning to swim, that moment when now you've your body has snapped into action? I have to get ashore. I have to stop the bleeding.
I couldn't explain you how I did it, but that okay. was the best swim of my life. I will never swim again like this. There were waves, currents, and it was like easy peasy. Between each waves, mostly you do, you take a lot of air, you go down, and you pray to get not really washed up with the waves. This time, it wasn't the case. I didn't had to do such. I couldn't say how I did it, but I really swam fast, preciously, and without in a state of calm, in fact.
Really, in a state of calm.
The calm was incredible. Really intense and...
I think even if I tried to meditate, I wouldn't reach such an incredible moment of clarity. Everything was precise, accurate, perfect.
Et je ressortais de l'eau toujours avant mon pote et je suis arrivé sur la
plage. And I got out of the beach, I got onto the beach before my friend. I was actually on the sand before him.
How far from shore were you at the beginning?
Difficult to say. 30 meter? 40?
That moment of clarity, what do you make of that? What do you think of that calm as you're swimming now? What do you think does that to our minds? Why do you think our minds do that?
For me, it was an incredible discovering of what we all have inside ourselves. Like we are thinking persons, but we are also animals. And if you think of an animal that is 80 kilos, I don't know in pounds the weight, but well, a big animal like this, you would fear it, right? If you are attacked by an 80 kilos animal. And you don't fear about human because we don't know our strength. And I felt like I've been introduced to my own strength. And it was really a great experience this way after thinking of it after that. Like I've been introduced to the power we all got and we don't have to use, but is still here. That's thousands of millennia of evolution in ourselves that are ready to fight for survival. And we don't know that, but it is... I felt like it's...
And if I'm understanding correctly, I'm hearing you saying that it's a physical strength, but it's also a kind of psychological or mental strength. That...
Both. Since I didn't had any thought, any reflection, any mind activity of any kind, it was pure sensation, action.
Were you fully aware that you were missing a leg at this point, that
no.
a leg was gone?
No.
Oh, you were not? No.
Okay. I just felt like when I was swimming, something was strange in the way my leg hit the water. It was not the same path as the other. Like it was...
Oh.
Y avait pas de poids accroché.
There was no weight attached to my pelvis on that leg.
So the kicking was very quick.
Exactly.
There must have been a moment then when you understood what had happened, when you saw...
It was not really eating me because I was also already aware of something missing, but I did not understood what exactly or how much, but I knew something was missing. So when I came to the shore, and I step up trying to get on my legs. I fall down on the sea and the sand, and at that time they realized that I was attacked and that I had one leg off, and they needed to help just at that time. They really realized it later. And also when I was on the sand, when I fall, I could not see my leg again. So I wasn't looking at my leg. I was completely allongé.
I was lying down.
So I could not see really what happened. And many people around. I remember a friend also crying at that time, looking at me in despair. And I was like, it's okay. Everything was calm inside of me. So I wasn't in this panic. I saw all around me, but I didn't felt it.
And so you must not have been in terrible pain either. The shock must have prevented the pain. Huh?
Not at all. That's the second incredible discovery I've made this day. There were no pain from the moment it took me until 3 days later in the hospital. No pain at all. I suppose when a lion kills some prey, they are not experiencing pain. So it makes death a lot less... death feels less fearful when you know there is no pain in such a death.
So there's an answer, I guess, or at least one answer to what it feels like to be prey. And maybe, I don't know, some small comfort to those who lost loved ones this way, just that maybe it wasn't so painful. Although it raises an adjacent question, which is, what does it feel like to have predation? The real thing, you know, the actual tiger stalking actual villagers or the actual polar bear wandering through playgrounds in your town? Strike so close to home, because even if it didn't cause Tanguy terrible physical agony in the moment, that attack had to have had a profound effect on his community, especially all his childhood friends at the beach.
Yeah, for me, it changed everything. Since that day, I never surfed again in my home spot, which is Le Brisant. I cannot.
That's Coralie Friedman, a young woman surfer who grew up with Tanguy in walking distance from the beach where he was attacked, right there in Etang Saleh.
For me, it's like, this is not my ocean anymore. This is not possible because I used to know a very safe place here. This is like my garden when I grew up. And now there are blood. And I'm very scared.
Coming up next on Reunion, Shark Attacks in Paradise.
I couldn't imagine being bite on my home spot, where my mom grew up also. I told you that she named me Coralie because of the coral that she saw every day on the beach, at the beach. I couldn't do that to my mom. And I wanted to keep good memories of my home spot.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Reunion: Shark Attacks in Paradise is a production of Hyper Object Industries, Little Everywhere, and Sony Music Entertainment. It's written, reported, and hosted by me, Dan Duane. Executive produced by Adam McKay, Claire Slaughter, Harry Nelson, Dan Gallucci, and Jane Marie. Produced and engineered by Joy Sanford, Mike Richter, Dan Gallucci, and Jane Marie, with help from Zaylee Mahone. Edited by Dan Gallucci and Jane Marie. All final mixes by Mike Richter. Reunion: Shark Attacks in Paradise was interpreted by James Christie and Pauline Chardin. Special thanks to all of our voice actors, Fred Giel, Sandrine Ristello, Giulio Mendi, and Marley Otto, and to the many people on Reunion Island that helped make all of this possible.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.